Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Yes, it is. Hi again, everybody. Alongside Evan Giddings, back in the saddle, this is Dan Avone, and welcome to Warriors This Week Live, as for the next 3 hours, we'll kick around the Golden State Warriors. Unfortunately, there are no basketball games involving the Warriors with which to speak, but we'll talk about what lies ahead. Yes, this offseason, all the conjecture, all the moving parts. Ev, I'm going to bring you right in. I'm just going to anoint you as the general manager. Don is Dunleavy. You put on his $5,000 suit. What is your first order of business going forward?
Well, first of all, glad to be back with you, Dan. You and Granny ripped it up last week. I was listening from down south. Did a fantastic job as always, so glad to be back in the
saddle. We're
going to
talk about what you did down south coming up in the show. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, we'll get to that, but we got a lot on tap, and the Golden State Warriors do too. I think you asked me the first order of business if I'm Mike Dunleavy Jr., and I think it has to start with Klay Thompson. And it's not necessarily, you know, sign him or don't. And if you feel one way or the other, we'd love to hear from you, 888-957-9570. But I just think that all the decisions they have to make stem from that singular choice. Because if you decide not to re-sign him, then you have financial flexibility. If you do want to re-sign him, what's the number he's going to be at? And that will tell you what other players you're allowed to go out and try and acquire. Or maybe you could even include him in a sign-and-trade. There's a lot of options, I think, that all stem from the first choice this offseason, which is, do you want Klay Thompson to be a Golden State Warrior in the future?
Oh, that's a good point. Let's just start there with Klay Thompson. And then I want to get into their last game, of course, which was Sacramento, which they got blown out. Sacramento, by the way, they're already out. They lose to New Orleans. New Orleans, if you missed it, will take on the number one seed, that being OKC. Mm-hmm. In the Western Conference playoffs as both teams get another day off. So let's start with Klay Thompson. I think that the Warriors are genuine when they say, and Mike Dunleavy, when he addressed the media, says that we want to bring Klay Thompson back. They recognize not only what he means to the team from an emotional standpoint in terms of being part of the fabric that created four championships, but I also think that he can be a player that still can be impactful and help you win. Now, he's much more limited, I think, in his role. It just comes down to two things, Ev. Money and pride. He's making $43 million, or he was. That's over with, okay?
Yeah.
Now the question becomes, to me, if I'm Dunleavy, we love you, Klay Thompson, but this is the offer. And the offer sheet is somewhere between 18 to 20.
Mm.
If you think you can make more, which you probably can, whether that's in Orlando or someplace else, well, then God bless. I can't get in your way. I hope you understand where we're at financially. We want to bring you back, but this is the number. Now, I think that Klay Thompson is going to come back to the Golden State Warriors, but he's going to do it with, for lack of a better term, his tail between his legs. I think he's going to have to swallow a little pride to rejoin the Golden State Warriors. That's where this is at. It's just a matter, because he doesn't need the bag, right? He's already he has enough money to live five different lifetimes. So do his great-grandkids. He's okay financially. This is just about respect and pride. Now, if somehow he can deal with that, if he can compartmentalize that, then he can come back to the Golden State Warriors. But the ball is clearly in his court. And the reason why I think he's going to come back is because, and I said this last week, it's a quality of life thing. I've been in Orlando. I've spent time in Orlando. I used to do NXT matches for WWE out there. It ain't Florida, bro. All right? It's the middle of the state. And I don't think that he wants to live in Orlando, Florida. And I think at this point, when you get to his age and you've done what it is that he's done on the court, it becomes about waking up in Tiburon and getting on a boat and quality of life as opposed to living in Orlando and maybe getting $7 to $8 million more a year.
Yeah, I also wonder how much pride factors into his role on the team. So, Dan, I think Klay Thompson showed us that his best place is on the bench. I mean, that's where he was his most efficient this season. I realize he came in and started, and you know, I think they had a pretty good record when he was back in the starting lineup. But to me, Dan, if this is to be a quality team and a team that is going to get back to the playoffs, I think Klay Thompson's best utilized as a gunner, as a sixth man, as a shooter off the bench. And so that might come, well, it is going to come with a pay cut. But can you pay a sixth man even $20 million? I mean, that is a lot of money for a bench guy. I think right now the highest paid sixth man in the league is Jordan Clarkson, and he makes 26, but that was a Lakers contract that they moved to Utah. So, like, I wonder how much Klay Thompson is going to be worth.
I think Monk will outdo that deal this offseason.
Well, I agree, and I think that's a big one to look at. I mean, what does Malik Monk get? Because You can make a case very easily that Malik Monk was far more important to Sacramento this season than Klay Thompson was.
He was their bench.
Yeah. And I think he was the only bench player in the league to average more than five assists. I mean, he's a secondary point guard for them. And not to get too deep in the Kings weeds, because their season's over as well. But I think Klay Thompson also has to look in the mirror and say, from a pride standpoint, am I all right taking a step back? Because that means not just his role, but also his money. I mean, I think the Warriors do want to pay him, and I think he wants to be a Golden State Warrior. But that middle ground between if you're a sixth man, how much are you worth? And I don't know if Klay Thompson's going to be okay with making less money than, say, Draymond Green, who makes $25 million. He's never made less than Draymond. He's never been in the same tax bracket as Draymond Green. I think that's a big question, too.
Part of the pride element. You talked about the Sacramento Kings. I do want to revisit that game as it relates to one Klay Thompson. Didn't score a field goal, 0 of 10. The numbers, certainly everybody's familiar with at this point.
The only other time, by the way, he'd gone over, he'd never had a point, was his rookie season, and he went 0 for 2.
He seemed to be, you know, there's clearly a lot of pressure. And we had talked about, I think, in a show prior to that, whether he still is Game 6 Klay. Is he still that clutch guy? And in both, you know, departures, last year's playoffs were, I think, was worse than this one. But, I mean, you can put them side by side.
Well, thank God those stats don't count.
Yeah, exactly. Which is really weird for the play-in.
I mean, like Coby White's 40 burger the other night is just going to go into
nothing.
The abyss.
Yeah, it means nothing. But as we talk about the Sacramento Kings, watching them, and I peeked in and out of that game last night against, you know, the New Orleans Pelicans, and they're just, granted, they were on the road. It wasn't the same level of emotion. You know, Keegan Murray didn't do what he did against the Golden State Warriors, but it just didn't look like a very good basketball team. I mean, they looked good, and you got De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis are legit, but that bench was really bad. And I think that they got exploited. That's a New Orleans team that was playing without their best player, one Zion Williamson. We could talk a little bit more about him, but you know, that's a Kings team that blew you out, which I think is sort of a statement as to where the Golden State Warriors are at. Losing to the Sacramento Kings, but not only losing, but the way that they lost to Sacramento. That there is a lot that this team needs to do in order to be relevant once again. And let me just say this, and I'd love to hear your response. You know how I feel that this is, you know, they got to blow this thing up. This is not, I've heard a lot this past week about, well, could be a piece here, could be a piece there. This is not like previous off seasons. You're not just a stretch four away, all right? This idea of just, well, we need a guy here, or who's going to be Jermichael Green this year? Is it Otto Porter? Is it Bielitsa? Hell no. This is much more severe. I know, Dub Nation, you guys want to stay away from phrases and words like transition or rebuild, but that's what you're looking at. If you want to be real this morning, you're looking at 2 to 3 years away from being a team that can really contend for anything, okay? Because this team is old, and how do you get away from this? Well, you need to start with new players, younger players, but the younger players need to develop, and I think, again, that this is something that is going to take some time and some patience. Your thoughts?
No, I completely agree. I do wonder how much you can tear down some of the walls of this building or this roster, you know, without completely losing the foundation, because I think you're right. There has to be change this summer. I think, you know, and that was my big takeaway from the game, but it was just a culmination of the season. Like, I don't know about you, Dan, but anytime a team loses in the postseason, it's generally clear as to why. If you've been watching the team all year, right? You know, we've been covering them from game one to 82, or I guess to 83. And to me, it was clear. You know, it's okay. Curry's a little bit older. He's got no help. Klay Thompson was inconsistent. Didn't make a shot. Andrew Wiggins was a no-show. Draymond Green was ineffective and didn't score much. Trayce Jackson-Davis looked like a rookie. You can make an argument that their best three players were number one on the bench, but were Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, and Brandon Podziemski. Like, and you're not going to win a game if that's the case unless those players are your starters. We've learned throughout this season that the starting five for the Warriors, whatever iteration of it, I think they have like 25 different starting lineups or some ridiculous number like that. Their starting five is not good enough. So you're right. They're not a stretch four away. They're a long stretch away from getting back to where they want to be, which is in contention for a title. So to me, in one way, I almost think that that game should expedite the process of change, because you did see how far you are away, not just from the Kings, but then the Kings who didn't even make the playoffs. Like, they're not a playoff team either. So you got bounced by a team that's also sitting on their couches watching the Western Conference kick off tomorrow, or later today, sorry. So to me, it's almost as if everything's on the table. Like, that Sham Sharania report from around Christmas time of everyone's on the table except for Steph, I think rings more truly than ever before.
What did you think of Steve Kerr and basically his exit interview, or his, you know, his post-mortem, when he talked about if he had the opportunity and if he could and if it's feasible, he would bring everybody back and that he would make another run at this, that he still has a strong belief in the core? Now, a lot of that is PR. I get it. As a head coach, you got to be part politician. You got to be part televangelist. You got to say the right thing. If not, that's just going to go viral. It's going to get picked up by Stephen A. Smith and all those shows, and it's just going to be fodder for everybody to talk about, and certainly it's going to trickle down to the players, and they're going to recognize that there's a lack of respect by that of Steve Kerr if he doesn't say that. But do you believe what it is that he had to say? Do you think there was any sincerity that he still thinks that he can rinse something out of this core? And namely, I'm talking about Wiggins and Draymond, Steph, and Clay.
I'm not sure if Wiggins is necessarily involved in that, but he spoke about the big three, and I want to play this cut for you and get your reaction, because I think this is pretty telling.
We can't expect them to carry us like they have
the big
for
three
so long. So we've got to lessen the burden. I think one of the best things that happened this year for Clay and for us was that he responded so well coming off the bench. So, you know, that's definitely an option. You know, that will be determined, obviously, next training camp. But, you know, I just think that, you know, 82 games is a long haul. And unless you've actually been through it, I think it's hard to really understand how difficult it is emotionally, physically, and especially as you get older. So we definitely need to give these guys more support and more help. And I thought the young guys really emerged this year, and I expect them to be better next year. And, you know, we'll see what we can do with the roster to make some more improvements.
I don't know what you took away from that, but the conundrum to me sounds like, Dan, and I wholeheartedly agree, is that the big three need to take a step back. But does that mean that your organization, your team, your win total also takes a step back? I think if anything, we learned the final 2 months of the season, not that the big three aren't going to be the driving forces on some nights, but they don't need them as much as they used to. I saw emergences from Kuminga, from Podziemski, from Moody, from Trace Jackson Davis. There's young players on this team that I think have the ability to get better that could supplement the fall off of the big three, because I don't think that they should play as many minutes as they did, and I don't think they should be as important to the success of this team as they've been for the better part of 12 years.
When you talk about Steve Kerr as it relates to the Golden State Warriors, oftentimes I'll get on the air and I'll talk about how old this basketball team. To me, that's just where this begins and ends. It's just age. You can't win with your best players being in their mid-30s. That just doesn't happen in professional sports. And it's not by coincidence when you look at the best teams in the NBA, all those players, their key players are in that sweet spot, meaning in that 25 to 28 to 29 range, namely that of the Denver Nuggets. Mm. Not only is this basketball team old, and I don't want to start things by going after Steve Kerr, but I think it's worth putting out there, is Steve Kerr too old? Is Steve Kerr an old coach trying to do it an old way? I mean, when you think about the landscape and OKC with Dagenault and, you know, even Malone with Denver and Finch, these guys are all much young. Willie Green, what he's got going on. All of these guys are much younger than that of the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. Is it worth entertaining that not only the core of the players are old, but also their head coach might be old?
Fair, but I also think in a way, the Warriors, because they're going to have next season, just for next year, like, I'm assuming they're going to have less talent than other teams in the West. That's another thing we learned from this year, is that this roster is not that talented. They're small, they're slow, comparatively speaking, they're undersized, they're not athletic. Those are all things they need to address. I'm not sure they can do all of that and get back to a top four seed in the immediate. So what do they need to prioritize? To me, it is getting younger. It is getting more athletic. It is allowing the big three to take more of a back seat. But I also think that Steve Kerr's system should ideally be able to help them overcome some of their talent deficiency. Because, I mean, I don't think that this is a team that can just run pick and roll with Steph Curry at age 37 50 times a game. I don't think he can be James Harden for this team for 82 games and remain healthy. So, in a way, I almost think that Steve Kerr's motion offense, tweaked or schematically altered a little bit, is going to be what helps them make up for their lack of talent, ideally. Because, to me, the Warriors have always been a team that has gotten over the top of other talented groups because of their chemistry, because of their fit, because they know how to play together. So that, to me, means that Steve Kerr's system is still necessary as long as Curry and Draymond, and even Klay Thompson, even if he's not on the team, I think with Curry and Draymond, his system is still necessary for this squad. And I don't think they would have given him that two-year extension if they didn't feel that way.
It's interesting that you bring up his system. That's a good place to start. Because if you're going to execute the motion system, which was perfect for this team again, when they were younger.
Yeah.
But when you play that motion system, you are going to be prone to turnovers. And I think he admitted as much. There's got to be there's a freestyle to it, right?
16 of them on Tuesday.
And so when you turn the basketball over, that means that you've got to get out and now start playing some transitional defense, which they were one of the worst in the NBA. They were one of the worst in the NBA in transition, both offensively and defensively. And again, I think that speaks directly in volumes when you're talking about how old this team is. But as you get older, playing a motion offense, again, where it's freestyling and where you're prone to turnovers for a team that's old, in other words, just to put it in a layman's terms, you're slow now in terms of getting back defensively. There seems to be sort of a double-edged sword and sort of a catch-22. While I agree with you that that might be more suitable for this team as they get older, but there's also the other end of that rope, which is that now you have to just make sure that if you're going to play a motion, that you got to get back defensively and that you're getting up and down the court. And that seems to be counterintuitive to this roster and their age.
No, for sure. Yeah, and that's why I think you do have to get younger. You have to get more athleticism on the court. I think, for example, TJD's penciled in as the starting five next year. I think that there's a runway that needs to be cleared for some of the younger players, specifically Kuminga and Moody, and not just because I think they have an ability to get better, but also just financially. Like, I think that the Warriors are in a position where they have to figure out, number one, what they want to pay those two guys because they're both extension eligible. We made a lot about Kuminga, but Moody's also extension eligible. You're going to have to make some choices about your future. And we talked about it, I don't know if it was a month ago or around the time that, unfortunately, Milojevic passed, but this idea that the Warriors have to lean more into one side of the roster. Like, are they going to stay beholden to the big three and guys that are 36, 34, 34, or are they going to take a look at their younger players and say, we want to invest in them a little more? We want to make sure that finally, after 2 years of, I mean, decline, honestly, as a team, because you made the second round, you got bounced. This year, you didn't even make the playoffs. So you're going to have to figure out which direction you want to go in. I know there's a needle that can be threaded in a perfect world, but to me, Dan, what they've done is give the big three every opportunity now for 2 years to try and run it back and reclaim their 2022 magic, and they haven't been able to do it. Because time is running out on their careers, I almost think you can't prioritize them anymore as much as you did. And that naturally means that you're going to have to look at your younger guys and say, these are the ones that are going to determine how far we go next season. Because I'm not necessarily sure for 82 games, maybe in a playoff series, but for 82 games, I can't ask Curry to play 75 to 80 games again. I can't ask Klay to play 77 games again. I can't ask Draymond Green to not miss 25. You know, like, all of these things are really difficult to ask for players at that age. And so I guess I would rather have my season be determined by players I can expect to be on the court and that I would ideally expect to be better.
So when you talk about some of the younger players, and you mentioned Trayce Jackson-Davis, I just want to go back to that game against Sacramento, because it's a bit of a head-scratcher as to, I understand why he got pulled. He wasn't very good early on, and I think he made an errant pass that just sort of, it sort of magnified just how sped up he was in that moment. It was the biggest, probably, game in his young life. But he also, you know, seemed to calm down a bit. But for a game in which, admittedly, Steve Kerr said, you saw the matchup, and I'm paraphrasing here, as he referenced Sacramento, he said, you saw the matchup, and once again, you know, we were too small against Sacramento. They simply got out-rebounded on both ends. I don't think they had an offensive rebound at halftime in that contest.
Yeah, they got dogged.
It was pretty bad, and yet your most effective big is not playing throughout the majority of that game. Now, I know Looney had done well, especially when you think about the playoffs a year ago against Sabonis. So I understand some of the thinking there. But just to recognize sort of what this team had uncovered towards the latter part of the season and the success that they had found with Trayce Jackson-Davis working with Steph and Chris Paul and Draymond, suddenly to go away from that for three quarters and admittedly saying you're getting out-rebound and you need somebody vertically that can help you, yet not to call Trayce Jackson-Davis's number, not to go after Steve Kerr, but it was a little puzzling.
No, I thought it was interesting that he had Trayce Jackson-Davis matched up on Barnes. Like, they had Draymond on Sabonis, and I guess that makes sense, but if you're going to have TJD out there, to me, you kind of, I mean, you have to use him like a five. And if he's not in the paint, he's not going to be able to help you rebound. And I know Barnes is probably the least mobile of the Kings players, for example. So maybe it was a bad matchup. I'm not sure. I mean, the Kings don't play a traditional center, and Sabonis is kind of their makeshift five. But I was surprised, Dan, that they didn't use Trayce Jackson-Davis like they've been using him. Not even the minutes total, but just from the start of the game. And so I think he was kind of put in an unfair position. And you could say credit to Sacramento for drawing him out, or from a perimeter standpoint, you know, attacking him. But I just think that, I don't think the lights were too bright, but I think that in a one-game NCAA tournament elimination-style scenario, Trayce Jackson-Davis, it just wasn't his night. So I wasn't surprised that Kerr went away from him, but I was surprised in how he deployed him at the beginning of that game.
And I don't think it does a lot for a young man's confidence if you do make a mistake early on not to play him again until, you know, 7 minutes, 8 minutes to go in the contest. That's just my personal thought. Again, just to stay on Steve Kerr for a minute, I think he got out-coached by Mike Brown. I think Mike Brown, I tipped my hat to that guy in that, and specifically in that game, because he knows the Warriors intimately, obviously. But his game plan was, look, at the best way to pressure an older team is to get up on them. And he said as much. The mics picked him up where he said, don't let these guys quarterback the team. In other words, don't let them cross the timeline. Don't let Steph survey the offense. Don't let him call for a screen and us jump in with a double team. I want you in his face, three-quarter court. I want you all over every one of these guys the minute they cross the timeline. And that pressure really clearly annoyed the Golden State Warriors. And it wasn't just Steph Curry, but it was everybody. There were a couple of pick six in that first half, including Wiggins, Steph, Clay. They made a point to jump the Warriors and get out and extend. And you could see clearly how the Golden State Warriors were uncomfortable with that right from the outset. And that, to me, is a direct result of coaching. And so Mike Brown took advantage of the Golden State Warriors because they looked clearly unprepared for that.
And I think he just took advantage of the rage, quite frankly. I mean, the guy that the Warriors identified as being a secondary ball handler to ideally neutralize that on-ball pressure is someone like Chris Paul. Yeah. And even he looked out of sorts. He looked old. He looked like a guy that is on his way out and is probably not going to be on the team next year. But that's the scenario that they brought him in to handle, and he couldn't. So you need to get younger. I think you need a secondary ball handler. Could Pajemski be that guy? I thought he played well in that game. But you're right, Dan, that the on-ball pressure is something that I think a lot of teams have identified for this Warriors group, and maybe moving forward they'll try and implement it as well, but specifically in a postseason, like Keon Ellis was in Curry's jersey. De'Aaron Fox was in Curry's jersey. They took the ball out of his hands or they took it from him, and that was something that was glaring because 365 days ago, Dan, he dropped 50 in that same building and willed them to a first series win. This year, he couldn't do it for whatever reason. And yes, he didn't have any help, but that's kind of the issue, is that they're in more need of help than ever. And on Tuesday night, they had nowhere to find it. I mean, I would come down Kerr's road for a couple things, but the rotations or minutes or strategy, like he was throwing stuff at a wall and just figuring out if it'd stick or not, because there was nobody in that game 1 through 15 that looked like that they were out there ready to try and take it from Sacramento. And the Kings, to their credit, just came out and whooped their ass.
Just a perfect example.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Why wouldn't you extend on someone or get in the face of someone like that, a De'Aaron Fox or a Jamal Murray, or pick your, because obviously they'll go by you. The Warriors don't have the capability of doing that any longer. Now, Steph can, but it's a lot of load management. He's not doing that early on in the game because he wants to pace himself. All right, we're going to continue the conversation with the Golden State Warriors. What do they do from here? And my man, Ev, back in the saddle, as I talked about, I want to go through the entire roster, all those players that get time, and let's just talk about whether we bring them back or not. It's Warriors this week, 888-957-9570. We're just getting started here. Let's hear from you. Get in on the conversation. We'll be back with more right after this.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings and Dan Avone, Warriors this week. It's our last one of the season, so call now. Get in on the conversation. What do they do? How are you going to fix this thing? Where do they go from here? It's going to be action-packed, I can tell, for the next 2.5 hours. We'll be here to take all your calls, 888-957-9570. Before we get back into the Warriors conversation, after break, Ev recognized one of his colleagues now doing what, MLB Baseball now on the MLB Baseball Network?
Yeah, I guess shout-out to Greg Caserta. He's a host at MLB Network. I used to broadcast with him in the Eastern League. I was with the Tigers' AA affiliate. He was with the Phillies' AA affiliate. He's a little older than I am, but he also had a beard, last I saw. So he's clean-shaven now. He's got a three-piece suit on. He's doing pretty well.
It's television, bro. So when you make that adjustment, man, get rid of the beard and the facial hair. You got to go pretty.
You're already in shape, man.
But you got to make sure that, you know, it becomes that visual medium, and it's all about what you look like. So, listen, the reason why I wanted to bring in Ev, I had an opportunity to listen to him last week. He was calling baseball games for Rancho Cucamonga. What is that, AA?
I was filling in for the single A A's, okay. And they were playing in Rancho against the single A Dodgers.
So all I'm going to say to everybody out there that's familiar with Evan, familiar with his work, just appreciate him right now because he is not going to be around for very much longer. All right, this guy is not staying local. I know he's going to stay humble and tell you the right things. But I've been in this industry long enough to know that a guy is on his way. So he's going to be here for the interim, but it's just a matter of time before somebody comes and knocking. And I mean, it's somebody with a big contract, with a big name that's going to say, I want you to be our play-by-play guy. And then you're going to go from there to wherever it is that is going to be your next step or building block, because this is just the start, my man. So appreciate Evan Giddings before we all say, I remember when. Doing Saturday's Warriors this week because the dude is going big time.
Well, so, I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, just leave it at that, brother, because what I'm speaking is truth. This is Bible coming to you right now.
Well, no, but I also want to tell people, you know, behind the scenes, like Dan is a pretty critical person. He's critical of the Warriors. He's critical of you know, play-by-play broadcasters, of anyone in the industry, quite honestly, because you've been there and you've done it. I mean, well, you could tell from the perfectly coiffed hair, this guy's been on TV for many years, especially when we're talking like 9 in the morning. This guy walks in just lighting up the room. But it does mean a lot to me that you know, you texted me after the game, and I appreciate you listening in the first place. So thank you. No doubt.
All right, we're sucking up to each other too much, man. There's too much sugar in the studio right now. People are just they're projectile vomiting. Let's just get things going. Back to the Warriors, and what better way to do it? I just want to hear from Austin in San Jose. Austin, my man, get us going. How do we fix this thing? What are we doing next?
Happy Saturday, guys. Evan, go get that chicken, man. Your boy's trying to tell you, go get that money, man.
Thanks,
eh? And I'm with you, man. I hope you do, man. You got the smooth voice. You're a young guy, but you project well. And I'm not kidding you, man. Yeah, I think you're going to do well. So I just want to say that. Hey, listen, the Warriors, man. I was out of town, but I caught the last quarter of the game. It was embarrassing. I think Dan, you alluded to it. There is no more running it back or making any small kind of move. I think they need a big move. I've been saying it all year. I thought the team was not good enough. Even if they had made the playoffs, which I think in some ways, guys, it was almost, I hate to say this, but the playing was actually good, and the way it came down was actually better, because had they gone, people would actually be thinking that the Warriors are better than they are. And I think that if you're critical and you're a fan, you know, look at them and say they're just not good enough anymore for a lot of reasons. So I think that's kind of my takeaway. What I would do, I would not bring back, and I've said this before, I know everybody on the Warrior line wants to kill me for this, but I would not bring back Klay Thompson. Your offer was right where I was, Dan. If I did, 18 to 20 max, I would go 3 years. The third year would be an option year, but I definitely wouldn't go any more than 3 years if I bought Klay back, and at this point, I don't think I would. That's just me. Evan, you keep talking about the bench.
Yeah.
And I also differ with you on the bench. while I think these guys that we have are decent players, I don't know that these guys, I would say, are guys we can go into the future saying, these guys are guys that are going to help us win a lot of games. In other words, fourth or fifth position, have a chance to compete for a championship. I don't see it. Trace Jackson Davis, good player, decent player. Moody, please. Moody, on, if you're seeing Moody play too much, I think you're not on a, it's not a very good team. So I think Moody's probably an eighth or ninth player. The coach told you what why Moody doesn't play. His decision-making needs to get better. He doesn't have a lot of lateral quickness. He can't guard twos. Yeah, he has long arms. And he stretches things, but he's not – overall, he's not an impactful player, guys. That's just it. And then Jonathan Kuminga, the last thing, guys. I don't think the Warriors believe right now that Jonathan Kuminga is that two. I don't think they're sold on him. I think Dunleavy's going to go out and try to find another two. He has to. Klay has to be a three man. I think Kuminga's a three on a good team, guys. I think that's his ceiling. Three on a good team. But they're going to have to go get a two, and they're going to have to improve the bench, because I don't believe our bench, Evan, is as good as maybe you think it is. And that's all I got, guys. Thanks for the time. And a great show. Talk to you guys next year.
Thanks, Austin. Oh, hey, don't worry, man. We're still going to be on Saturdays.
You can call back next Saturday.
Yeah. might not be talking all Warriors, but yeah, this is the last Warriors this week of the season. But no, we'll be here all summer from 9 to noon. So whether there's Warriors news, we can finally get into some baseball. We got NFL draft stuff next week. We got a lot on our plate, so don't go anywhere.
I wish I could disagree with Austin, but I got to tell you,
makes
man.
Makes a lot of sense.
He really does, and he's been consistent. One thing about Austin is that he's been consistent throughout the entire season, but I'll give you an opportunity to reply on what it is that he said about the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's necessarily wrong about the bench not being as good as... I hope I didn't portray it as, you know, like a championship second unit. I think the bench looked a lot better this year because of how inconsistent or non-productive the starters were at times. I mean, you just look at that game on Tuesday, Dan. I think that the starting five got outscored, you know, it was like 100-40 or something along those lines. Like, the starting five for Sac just absolutely lambasted the Warriors five. So, to me, the reason why I focus on the bench of this season is because... In my opinion, I'm operating under the assumption that there is no big move out there for them to go get the number two or number one that people want. I just don't see it. I don't think there's a free agent out there. I don't think that there's a trade that the Warriors can swing that doesn't involve Kuminga, or maybe more importantly, moving a hefty amount of first-round picks, which I don't think they want to do. And I personally wouldn't want to do, just because of the unforeseen future. So that's number one. I think that my priority for the future is to get guys or put people in position, either on the team or outside, whatever, that have an ability to grow, to develop, to get better. Do I think Kuminga is a perfect player right now? No. Do I think he could be at age 25? Potentially. That's in three seasons from now, but they're going to have to pay to find out. Do I think Moses Moody is a guy that if you played 35 minutes in the Sacramento game, they were going to win? No. But Moses Moody's also in his early 20s. He's someone that has the ability to develop and get better, unlike the big three, who are getting worse. So to me, it's about the Warriors trying to find players that have an ability to improve instead of focusing or prioritizing on players that are clearly in decline.
I think the bench is good. But to Austin's point, and the reason why I agree with Austin, is that while it's a good bench, you're still void of a star. Like, I don't think, when I look at Pajemski, I look at Moody, and look at all those players on the bench, I'm like, yeah, you guys are good role players. But let's not get this thing crooked. I don't see anybody that's a perennial all-star in there. I don't see that impactful two on that bench. Yeah. Well, the bench can be good, but that's assuming that you find that Kevin Durant, whoever the hell it is, that could join Steph Curry, or you find those players that are going to give you those numbers of 25 and 10, and maybe even Steph becomes, you know, not the guy, but maybe he's 1A. Maybe somebody supersedes him in terms of being the centerpiece of this Warrior team. Then the bench makes sense. But if you're looking at that bench and those players – to be the guys that are going to carry the torch in terms of stardom, then I think, you know, to Austin's point, you're barking up the wrong tree. We continue with the phone calls.
I agree with that.
Out to Burbank. Let's go to Joe's hanging out. Joe, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for all your Warriors coverage throughout the year up to this point. You guys did a great job. Appreciate it. You know, to me...
Tips appreciated, Joe. Tips appreciated, brother.
All right, you got it. Well, you know, defense to me is king in the NBA. And, you know, nothing was more obvious than the Sacramento game, but when you got to have on-ball perimeter defenders. And let's face it, when you look at the Warriors, how many do they have? You know, Wiggins is definitely one of them. Gary Payton, GP2, he is, but since he likes to stuff to dunk the basketball and he's 6'2", he comes down on hardwood about 4 feet, he's never going to be healthy. His calves and his ankles are always going to give him problems. So we wasted, you know, it's fun to watch him dunk, but he comes down and it just can't take. His ankles can't take it. His legs can't take it. So I don't think he's going to have nothing but injuries this whole time, so we can't really use him. So it's interesting. What I wanted to ask you guys, what your opinion was, is with Wiggins, you know, he's quiet, so it's not that he doesn't care. And there's tons of teams in the NBA where they have one or two players that have to psych up the rest of the guys. So it's not unusual for some people get on Wiggins because they say, well, his teammate's got to get him into the game. Well, a lot of times he's the third, fourth option. Yeah. So it's hard for him to get into rhythm. But the point is, and I got to wrap it up so you can take other calls, it's a shame that you're going to do probably a salary dump on Wiggins and you've got to include draft picks or a young player. That he's good. Wiggins is only 29. He's got 3 years left at a decent contract, about 25 a year. He could have got 30 at the time. So unless you can pull off trades and get a bunch of perimeter defenders, why would you give up Wiggins and get nothing for him, basically? So that's what I wanted to ask you guys, and especially on GP2, because he's never going to stay healthy. I'll take your answers off the air.
Thanks, Joe. I agree with him about GP2. I think you get to the point where you like what it is that he does, but you have to take into consideration the injuries at this point. But I'm curious to get your thought on what it is that he said about Andrew Wiggins.
Well, first, I have a, I don't know if it's a theory, but I think the Warriors are going to negotiate something with Gary Payton II to lower, because I think he's making $9 million if he opts into his player option. I think the Warriors are going to negotiate something where they can get him for 3 years at, I don't know, maybe 15. Lower that number a little bit, because I also don't think that beyond next season there's going to be people lining up for Gary Payton II, who's played half the game since 2022. So that's first and foremost, and I think that'll help the Warriors. But with Wiggins, it's well, like a lot of members of this roster, it's hard because he's right. If you don't have him on the team, you probably lose your best point of attack defender. Draymond's their best defensive player, but on the perimeter, Klay's not the same guy. Curry's never been that guy. It's got to be Wiggins. So the question is, do you think that someone like Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody could be that point of attack defender or point of attack defenders next season? Because if you do think that they can be, well, then Wiggins is expendable. Because in my opinion, Dan, he was far too inconsistent throughout this season. He had his worst statistical year. Averaged like 13 points a game, shot his lowest from the field, wasn't good from three, was up and down. And I know not everything's about offense, but the whole wait and see if this guy can be the second best player on a championship team type conversation that we ran in circles with and have been running in circles with for the better part of two seasons, I frankly just don't want to do anymore. So that, I think, and again, it's about, to me, prioritizing younger, up-and-coming developmental players. I think clearing the runway by moving off of Wiggins, even if it is a salary dump, I think would help the Warriors move into whatever the next version of themselves is.
So if I'm to read between the lines of what it is that you just said, it sounds like a rebuild. Is that accurate? If you're talking about developing players, and if it's not Andrew Wiggins and you can't necessarily find that impactful number two, but rather just, you know, sort of lean in on the younger players and wait for them to get to a place where they're comfortable and they're helping you win, is going to require a level of patience. So I'm assuming that we're not looking to run it back and or to get back into that conversation of Western Conference titles and NBA championships as soon as next year.
Well, I'm not sure that's realistic. Like, I don't know what people feel like next season is going to hold in store. I'm not looking at the Golden State Warriors like a championship team.
Okay.
Like, I don't think that expectation is realistic. If they somehow make a big move this summer and, you know, July 1st and beyond, if they show us with their moves this offseason that they're trying to go for it, well, then we can have that conversation. But right now, after what I saw in the play-in game, that wasn't a team that was going to win a first-round series. That's certainly not a team that was going to win a championship, in my opinion. So I'm not looking at them like a title contender. That doesn't mean necessarily, Dan, that I believe that they should rebuild. To me, the word of the summer should be retool. And so I don't think it involves stripping down everyone or making, I don't know if I came off sounding like this, making all the young players the priority. But to me, you have to be less dependent on the players from your championship year. Because I just don't think that either due to consistency or availability or production that they're as reliable as a group as they were even a season ago when Wiggins and Clay and Dre were all playing 35-plus minutes in a second-round playoff series.
I guess the question then becomes, if you're not going to be reliant on your core as much as you have in the past.
Well, I think the question is, who is the core now? Like, who do you want to be a part of this core?
Yeah, well, that's the question going forward. Because if you can't rely on them, then who? Because it can't be the kids because they're not there yet. And that's where I think this begins and ends. I think that the Golden State Warriors go for that big trade. I don't think that they invest in the kids and then just bring this back and then be patient over 2 or 3 years and try and assemble pieces and hope, you know, down the line that they can become a good basketball team once again. I think that what they're going to do over the offseason, and hang on to your hat because I know he's a popular player, I think Jonathan Kuminga is gone. I think Jonathan Kuminga is going to be traded, and I have very little doubt about that. If he's not traded, it will only be because they couldn't find value in return. There's no doubt in my mind that your one true asset, your one bullet in the chamber, is Jonathan Kuminga. He, along with Andrew Wiggins, now it makes sense when you think about, okay, well, what Andrew Wiggins going to bring me back? Well, with Andrew Wiggins packaged with Jonathan Kuminga, now you're talking about potentially bringing back that player that has been so coveted by not only Dub Nation, but by the executives that make these decisions for the Golden State Warriors. And I'll tell you why. I felt that all along, but I'll tell you what sort of cemented that and put it over the top. If you were just to read between the lines, and now listen, I get it. It was Mike Dunleavy's really, it was his first postseason press conference. But if you hear what it is that he said about Jonathan Kuminga, as opposed to what it is that he talked about when he was asked about Klay Thompson, when he was asked about Draymond Green, there was a level of certainty. He said, we want to bring back Klay Thompson. All right? It's just a matter of money, but we want him back here. When it came to Draymond Green, he said Draymond Green, and he pointed out statistics to support that we're a better team with him. I can't see, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something to the effect, I can't see a scenario where he's not coming back.
Yeah.
When it came to Jonathan Kuminga, it was much more elusive. And he said, we'll evaluate all our young players. There's some things that he needs to do. Certainly he's an instrumental piece of our future going forward, but there wasn't that sort of conviction that he's coming back to this basketball team. Now, again, don't want to read too much into a press conference, but I think that the Golden State Warriors are going to look to trade Jonathan Kuminga to find that complementary piece to that of Steph Curry. It may not be out there, but that would be the only reason why he would come back in a Warrior uniform next year, in my estimation.
Well, before I completely rebuke that, I do want to play Steve Kerr's comments on Jonathan Kuminga for you.
I think what JK is looking at is how can he make himself more versatile to be available in different lineups? You know, can he be a three? It's a big question. And I don't know the answer to it, but I know that as we continue to help him and he continues to learn how to create spacing and get a shot off a little quicker and be more comfortable catch and shooting, but also making the right reads, because as a three, you handle the ball more. Can he become a better passer? I think he sees the floor pretty well, but his fundamentals in terms of passing have to improve if he's going to play the three.
And I think that's what it comes down to is he going to be the three next year? And that's another reason why I would try to trade Wiggins, is to make sure that Kuminga's got the opportunity to play small forward. I, Dan, completely disagree about Kuminga and his trade importance this offseason. The one thing that I don't believe the Golden State Warriors can do is, number one, trade future first-round picks. Number two, trade Jonathan Kuminga. Because he is the only player right now on this roster that has a ceiling of potential stardom. Do I think he's going to be a perennial all-star? I don't know. I think it's hard to project that right now. But what he did in the second half of the season was too much for me to give up on. And in fact, I would pay him a pretty penny this offseason to find out. Because if Jonathan Kuminga in one half of a year could essentially go from a player that was out of the rotation to a guy that you could pencil in for double digits every night to be your secondary scorer, yes, on a team that didn't make the playoffs, but at age 21, then I really want to see what he can be at age 25 by the end or in the middle of that secondary deal that I expect is going to get from the Golden State Warriors this summer. The one thing I do not believe that they can do this summer is trade Jonathan Kuminga, because that to me signals that they're leaning even more into an aging core that has shown you the last 2 years that they're not a team or a group that can put you back in a title contention that quickly.
Back out to the phone lines. Let's get to Oakland. I want to hear from Bobby. Bobby, what do you got?
Hey, appreciate it. Good to be on with you guys. They always have a good show, for sure. Yeah, you know, I know it's a lot being said by Wiggins in general, and I see it, and I understand it, you know, the ups and downs and so forth, but there was a stretch in this season that you can see a version of the 2022 Wiggs, and that's when Steve Kerr kind of put the ball in his hands a little bit more. He became more engaged on defense and offense. You get an engaged Wiggins, that lockdown defense, that low post, he can hit a few shots from the outside. That lifts your team to another level. We just didn't see it consistently enough. And I'm still a believer, even though we've been through it with them, that if you bring them back, you don't let talent like that walk out of the door, although they may trade them. I would like personally to see him come back. You know what? And Clay, I hate to say it. I think Austin brought it up. I'm kind of in agreement there. I just don't see, but not just this year coming up, but the following 1 or 2 years after that, what are you going to really get for that? What will he, I don't know, kind of sap the team of being able to make moves from that standpoint? I hate to say it because I love Clay, but you got to look at it realistically. But I would keep Wiggins, let Clay run to another team from the standpoint of getting his money and probably getting a starting role, and then kind of build your team from there. So that's all I wanted to say, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bobby. Again, I think the ball's going to be in his court, no pun intended, when it comes to what it is that Klay Thompson and his next move is going to be. If he can swallow his pride and come back from somewhere between $18 to $20 million, well, the door's open. We'd love to have you, but your role is going to be much more mitigated than it has been. If that's something you're willing to do, hey, man, let's do this. Let's do the farewell tour with you and the rest of the guys. It's clearly on Clay. If Clay wants to go for the bag and $30 million and play in Orlando, which I don't think he's going to do, I think quality of life factors in with this young man, then God bless. But we just simply can't go there as a team. That's where it's at with Clay Thompson. As far as Andrew Wiggins, I think I'm with you. I can't do it anymore, Ev.
I don't want to. I mean, I realize his value, and at his best, he's a good two-way player. I just don't want to do that dance. It's like, you know, it's like you're at a salsa class, and you know, for the first four of the eight count, the partner you're dancing with is on the same page, and then she starts stepping on your toes the last four counts, and you're just sitting there like, well, what happened in the first half of this dance? Like, you were on beat, you were on time, and then all of a sudden you started giving me two left feet. Like, I don't know what to expect at this point, and I just don't want to do that dance anymore, frankly.
Salsa and all Latin dance are in steps of three. Just remember that, boys and girls. It's just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, all right? It's not 1, 2. There's not four steps. It's all in threes. We continue. I'm going to give you what I think is the remedy for the Golden State. Their only option of potentially winning an NBA championship and being that team again next year. There is something out there. I'll explain when Evan and Dan continue on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.